Hi there. Welcome into The Garage, our weekly podcast. I'm Big Jim O'Brien, host of Big Jim's House Morning Show at 94.7 WCSX in Detroit. You can also go to WCSX.com, the garage page, automotive reviews. Lots of stuff up there. Podcasts like this one. Scott Dixon's going to join us in a second. He won at Toronto yesterday. Auto reviews going up. The 2018 VW Passat will be on the website this week. Also, the Velar is up there, too. If you haven't seen the Range Rover Velar, spend some time with that. This week, I'm wrapping up some reviews with the Silverado 3500 dually, and then I'm driving a Prius. We're talking about both ends of the spectrum. Real quick, while we're waiting on Scott's going to join us here in a couple of minutes, so I wanted to touch on a couple things. It's always interesting to me with the automotive industry when you look at cars and when you get that first shot. You know, they always talk about in the restaurant industry, like you can have 10 great meals, one bad one, and then you don't go to the restaurant anymore. I think in a lot of ways, it's the same when it comes to cars. You know, you see something and you're like, I don't like it, or maybe you had a bad experience. Well, this is even shallower than that. I have to be totally transparent. When I first saw the photos out of Atlanta when they unveiled the new Chevrolet Blazer, it didn't really do anything. It was just kind of like, huh, good for you. That's okay. It was in red, and it didn't jump out. Now, jump forward about 2 weeks, and I don't remember if it was Autoblog or one of the blog sites put up pictures. They had photos of it in white on the road, and it looked 20 times better. There are certain cars that just look better moving than standing still. I would say for the Pacifica, great design for a minivan. Even I know you, oh, it's a minivan. It looks fantastic on the road when it's moving. Now, obviously, muscle cars, when you talk about, you know, when you talk about the new Supra, or you talk about Mustangs and Camaros and Corvettes, yeah, they look amazing on the road. But for a more SUV-ish type vehicle, it's startling to me. I really think Chevrolet should have shown it in white, to be honest, because that color really pulls out some of the speed lines on it and whatnot. And when you see it on the road, there is a noticeable difference when it's driving. So that was just one thing I wanted to touch on. Of course, a lot of people watching with the Goodwood Festival of Speed going on over in England. I've seen Ford's had their Bullet Mustang over there. They'll have it here in Detroit, hopefully, for the Woodward Dream Cruise. We can see that. And then Sean, the guy who owns the original one from the movie Bullet, they're actually driving it there a couple times. Bill Goldberg's over there, too, just ripping around. All right, he's got a race truck, like he's doing the truck series racing. I want to go back to Toronto as we talk about that. This happened over the weekend. It's kind of hard to hear this, but just follow me on this one. What you're hearing is a guy named Harrison Scott. He's in that Pro Mazda series on Saturday. Now, if you text our radio station, we'll send it to you. 248-398-WCSX is the text number, and just put garage. It'll take you right to the garage page. This guy hit the right rear, like in Free Jack, with Emilio Estevez. Boy, that's a pull right there. Airborne, and went over like three or four cars, and thank God there was a runoff area there when he landed. The video is startling when you see it, and he's okay. Now that he's okay, we can do this.
Yep, I'm flying through the air. This is not good.
Yeah. You wonder about that. And Scott Dixon, I know, had a crazy experience. Was it 2017 at the Indy 500? Where he caught a little bit of air as well. But Scott Dixon, 62-point lead now in the IndyCar series. It was interesting watching the fan base, too. They're expecting for the weekend over 100,000 people in Toronto. And I was talking about in the studio during our radio show here. We were discussing the whole idea between IndyCar, and people talk about NASCAR, and they don't have the attendance that they used to have and stuff. But I think you're right on the cusp. Maybe I'm just a slappy. I think having Dale Earnhardt Jr. doing weekly broadcasts is fantastic for the sport. A guy like Kyle Busch, you've got your bad guy. You got these young drivers who want to work their way up, and they're going to fight like crazy to get in there. It's all good. It is all good for the sport, and just you got to be a little patient. But when you see guys like Kyle Larson and them, and you know, some of the young guys, Eric Jones finally breaking through, NASCAR is going to be fine. Maybe it's not going to be as big and massive as we thought it was, but you know what? It's still a great sport, fun to watch. Kentucky was a pretty good race, too, although Martin Truex, that's an interesting dance. If you're Joe Gibbs Racing, how much do you help him going forward? You know what I mean? It's you're providing them almost everything for furniture or for front row racing there, so what do you do? Waiting on Scott Dixon right now. Three wins this season. The Mid-Ohio race is coming up next. He's a monster at that one. 62-point lead in the series over Joseph Newgarden. Also saw him on American Ninja Warrior. He's doing that as well. So we're waiting on Scott. Scott Dixon will join us. I'm curious what he says. Scott Dixon, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, man.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That was the Old Testament pass where the seas parted perfectly and you just went right through.
It sure was.
Is there a moment in your head where you're like, no, this can't be that easy?
And well, it's never easy because you're fighting a similar issue. But yeah, like it definitely, when you see it, initiate, you're like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. But yeah, and then you immediately go into try not to do the same thing. So it was definitely a bit of a shock.
So when we watch you, when you're working that wheel, what I'm always curious about when you can see the back and forth on the wheel. You're never really holding the wheel just straight for any length of time because of the torque and everything else. What is the key thing for you? Is it just that wheel? Are you getting just torque steering from trying to put the power down? Is it the course? Is it downforce? What causes the most feedback in the wheel?
It's a combination, probably the bumps, especially on street courses too, but there's a lot of kickback, especially in this style of IndyCar right now, any bump, but you're constantly trying to find the limit, right? So, you'll find that the car, creates a bit of understeer so you can turn a bit more. And then, we'll grip up a little more, so then you have to, turn the opposite way. So it's just constantly fighting the edge of finding the balance, plus the limit of the tires and the grip of the track. And then, the bumps, definitely throw in a different version of that as well. But this year, especially with the lighter downforce, the Bryce IndyCar Series, man, it's definitely hard work. It moves around a lot. And yesterday, man, the temperatures were hot, but the humidity was crazy.
Yeah, well, we talk about that a lot of times. We're talking about Scott Dixon, by the way, number 9 Chip Ganassi Racing, wins yesterday in Toronto. Congratulations there. And when there's, we talk about getting heat in the tires, but when you have heat on the track, I always get confused about that. Is there a point where it's just too hot for the tires?
Yes, absolutely. I think the biggest thing for us, definitely in restarts and under caution is the time that, the tire can lose a lot of heat. But initially it starts very hot, right? And then it wants to pick stuff off the track when you're driving around slowly. As you're driving around fast, it's constantly cleaning the tire off. But in that scenario, like we saw on the restart, Joseph had just picked up way too much stuff on his tires. And then they get cold, and then it's really hard to get the heat back into them. So it's really a process that you go through, pretty much every lap that you're doing. You do get to a point where it just gets too much. And we saw that on the red tire, the softer tire. It's faster for the first 5 or 10 laps, but then, you really start to overheat the rubber and you just start sliding around more.
Is it like when you hit when Joseph hit those pebbles that, got out of the groove on turn one? Is it like being on a gravel road? Is that the feeling, the sensation in the car?
We refer to them as marbles, and it's like being on literally a ton of marbles.
Really?
The grip, through that corner when, you can be third gear, almost fourth gear and running, extremely fast, probably 100, 100 miles an hour, maybe 120. And then in a scenario like that, he was, maybe doing 70 and then second gear, it just, the grip goes so quickly. And the more you get offline, you just keep picking up more of it. And then all of a sudden you're on the fence.
We always talk, Scott, about here in Detroit. I'm fascinated with turns 1 and 2, the way you guys transition through there and are flat out by before you ever get to turn 2 at Belle Isle. Are there turns in the IndyCar series that you are going to put a big physical demand on you, on road courses in particular?
Yeah, absolutely. That is definitely one of them. Detroit, the 1-2 complex is really cool and really fast. Your fourth gear, through those corners, probably 140 miles an hour, especially the second one. But, yeah, I think it depends on a lot of the circuits. But, the Carousel, it's, Sonoma is always a very famous one. Mid-Ohio, there's lots of, elevation change that really, takes a toll on the car as far as, trying to find the best line of grip. But yeah, I think just about every track that you go to, there's a corner that has probably got the highest loads, but also can be the most demanding and easy to make mistakes in.
When we talked about this before, Scott, I was looking at the proposed track for Miami for the F1 guys. And I'm thinking,
oh yeah,
that would be fun for IndyCar to go. That track looks like it's built for you guys.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, how that plays out. I think, they've been getting a little bit of pushback, obviously, from the city. Miami shut that one down and used the streets that they're trying to do. It will definitely be interesting. But, we raced there back, especially, I think, in the early 2000s and obviously in the 80s and 90s quite a bit throughout. But, yeah, it'd be cool to race in Miami, man. It's a big city, a fun city, and a lot of IndyCar fans, but a lot of F1 fans there too.
So you got your birthday coming up on Sunday, right?
That's right. Yeah. Nice to celebrate with a win. That's
yeah, exactly. Good. It's like that's like the dumb interview question of the week. So, what do you want for your birthday? A win? Got that? Man. I'm
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I need one now at Mid Ohio. So that's what I'll be.
You own that track, dude.
Kansas out and, yeah, it's been good. It's been good. We can't rely on that. We sucked pretty bad there last year. So we need to try and turn that around.
Three wins this year. It feels to me as a fan watching all the races, Scott, that from front to back, the competition level is higher. It's just feels like there's more people. Like, nobody knew about, I'll admit, I didn't know who the hell Robert Wickens was. My God, the dude can just drive the wheels off it.
Yeah, the it's really condensed. You know, the tough part now, you know, I remember when I first entered the championship, you know, in the early 2000s, you know, you could miss by a little bit in qualifying, you know, and you might lose a spot or two. Now you lose, you know, 10 or 12 spots. So it's cool. You know, that's obviously what everybody thrives for. And you know, I think with what they've done, you know, the IndyCar series, with the formula right now, everybody has very similar equipment, right? So even, you know, the big teams like Penske with, you know, much bigger budgets aren't able to really do much. You know, yes, they still consistently, you know, at, you know, very fast, but yeah. You know, you don't have the big separation like we did, you know, maybe 10 years ago. So, yeah, and it's cool to see, you know, young talent. You know, Robert Wickens has been doing a fantastic job, and you know, so have a few others this year. But there's no real small teams, and there's no, you know, the driver lineups and combinations with teams right now is just, there's so much depth to the field.
Did you see the Harrison Scott incident on Saturday?
I haven't. No.
And we caught air during the Pro Mazda series. He was airborne.
When
he landed. I kept thinking, if there was no runoff there, that could have been bad.
Yeah, that was crazy. Just with the way the car landed, too. You know, like he got high right in the first crash, and then it kind of bottomed, and then he went straight over somebody else and then flipped. But he landed head down. Like, he was super lucky, man.
Yeah. So, like, at Indian, when it's a crazy question, but when you're airborne, is it like they talk about where it's just quiet?
It's very quiet. Even, you know, even when you're still on the track and you spin like on an oval, you know, there's that sense of silence and everything, you know, your senses really heighten, right? So everything slows down a ton. You know, you start smelling things you don't normally smell. You know, you have that eeriness of waiting just for that big crunch. And, you know, I think you try to get through it as fast as possible, get your hands off the steering wheel. But yeah, like even if you look at, you know, my one, you know, 2 years ago, Indianapolis, that whole crash, I think, was probably, you know, 2 or 3 seconds, 4 seconds long, but it felt like about an hour.
Is it like Days of Thunder where they want you to get back in the car? Because, you know, Days of Thunder is my reference for all racing movies. I'm
absolutely
joking.
Well, you got to get back on the horse, right? You know, that's the biggest thing. And that was the same when I started in go-karts, when you'd crash, you know, at the age of 6 or 7 or 8, you know, the biggest thing was trying to get you back in the go-kart, just so you didn't have that, you know, too long to think about the downsides of it. But, you know, I think a lot of us at this point, you know, that wasn't my first crash, and it won't be my last.
Well, congratulations on everything this year. And I forgot to mention an American Ninja Warrior. That was so cool, dude.
Yeah, I came up a little short, man. I hope you didn't blink.
But, oh, no. No,
it was a lot of fun, you know, and that whole, the whole group and just that, you know, family that they have there doing that show is fantastic. I definitely need to go back and have another crack at that and try and redeem myself a little bit.
Do you gas out? I mean, is it just because you get so amped up? Is that like, I'd imagine your muscles just, you gas out from just all the adrenaline.
They have, you know, just crazy, it's like a fingertip strength and endurance they have. It's you know, you're competing against people that have been training for, you know, 2-3 years to get on that show. You know, I tried to rock out with a couple of weeks training, and it's so different from what we do. You know, it's very explosive. They use, you know, different parts of the body. But yeah, the whole, I think just going there, I've never been that nervous for anything in my life. You know, when I walked up there and looked at those steps, I'm like, wow, but each year they make it harder too, right? So the steps get further apart. They get, you know, the course gets a lot more difficult. But when I first got up there, I'm like, oh God, I'm gonna fall on the first one.
You did a great job. You did a great job. So you're gonna ask Chip. Have you ever thought about? I'm just last thing. I'll let you go here. Scott Dixon, Chip Ganassi Racing, 62-point lead so far. 3 wins this year. Mid Ohio coming up next. Have you ever? I know your name comes about this time of year for, you know, other series and stuff. Would you ever want to go drive, like, borrow Kyle Larson's car for a race?
We've talked about it, and more so just for a test. You know, we did a car swap with McMurray. I don't know, probably 6-8 years ago, and drove at Talladega for a little bit, just on a test day, and he drove the Indy car. And I was meant to do a short track test probably 5 years ago, but we ended up schedule conflicts. But I'd love to drive it. You know, it's so different to what we typically do that, you know, it would be a very, very tough transition. But, I'd love to, you know, I love racing cars. So, yeah, I'd love to have a go.
Pretty damn good at it. You and I still want to see Indy cars in Bathurst. One day, man. Come on.
That'd be cool.
If you run an F1 cool. car there, you can do
That'd
Indy
be
there.
Crazy. Yeah. That'd be crazy.
Scott Dixon, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Be well. Congratulations on the season so far. And keep going, man.
You too. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right. All the best.
See you, mate.
All right, there he goes. Scott Dixon, great guy. Always love talking to him. IndyCar, by the way, is just, it's getting better and better and better each week. I was reading they were projecting well over 100,000 people there for the weekend in Toronto. Here in Detroit for Belle Isle, we see the attendance pop up. I think it was 10% year to year. It's a good thing, man. So, there you go. You can always follow me on Twitter at WCSX Jim. You can go to WCSX.com, check it out. Subscribe to this podcast as well on iTunes. I got to get Goldberg back on. Bill and I just been out of sync. We're going to get him on, talk some car stuff too. Maybe actually get some seat time with that Bullet Mustang. So we'll see if we can get Sean, the original owner, if you haven't heard that story. Anyway, God bless you. Take care of yourself and your family. Be good.